Shalom Aleichem and welcome. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to part 4 of 120 of our Shmiras HaLashon project, to think before we speak. The Chofetz Chaim made a case in the first three sessions that we did as to why Shmiras HaLashon is so important. And he has kind of outlined why he dedicated so much of his life to Shmiras HaLashon advocacy. In this session, part 4, the Chofetz Chaim essentially asks, what went wrong? Why is it that people who are observant Jews in so many ways would find that Lashon Hara is their vulnerable spot? And the Chafetz Chaim asks, "Me'ayin naso halav hazeh hefker? How did it come to be that this particular prohibition is open forum? People are not careful, and they will speak and listen to Lashon Hara in such a callous and casual way." The Chofetz Chaim responds to this question by dividing his answer in two. He writes, "Hehamon, the general population, einam yodim klal, they don't know, she'isr lashon hara hu afilu al emes, that lashon hara is even when it's true." And we find this is a phenomenal breakthrough in Torah law. According to the secular mind, meaning the mind of someone wishing to be good but does not have Torah, the secular mind only appreciates the concept of libel. If I accuse a person of something that he doesn't have bad about him, I accuse him incorrectly, I publicize that, I badmouth him. So that's libel, because it's not true. But it doesn't occur to thinking people, until Torah came along, that publicizing the truth is also prohibited. One can argue, he did it. It's true. He has it coming to him. Nevertheless, there is a prohibition of Lashon Hara, and that is a concept that the general population is not aware of. And that's where that campaign comes from. When we start teaching children on Shmiras HaLashon topics, we start off by letting them know Lashon Hara is even if it's true. The Chofetz Chaim continues and explains that there's an additional challenge of significance when it comes to Shmiras HaLashon regarding people who are fairly knowledgeable. Because the Yetzer Hara tries to convince the person, mitzvah lefarsem esach hanefim v'horeshoim, it's a mitzvah to speak about such people. You gotta publicize their evil. Either to punish them, the argument might be, or to stay away from them, the argument might be. And what's particularly sophisticated about this is that there are times when it is a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara about somebody, let's say to one's children, to make it clear not to hang out with certain people or in certain places. But this concept is used so liberally that it's literally destructive. My Rebbe would have said, it's a heter so big, you could drive an 18-wheeler right through the heter. And the heter was intended to be used sparingly. In particular cases where you need to, you speak the Lashon Hara. But not to allow all kinds of Lashon Hara. A quick anecdote, I believe it's said about Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that at his Shabbos table, someone asked him about a certain bachur, because this young man was suggested as a shidduch. And Reb Shlomo Zalman answered with a glowing report about the boy. Later, he followed the person out, and when he was able to get them privately, he said, if it's for a shidduch, we really need to talk, because there's this issue and that issue. So the person asked, why didn't you tell me right away? And he said, because it was by a Shabbos table in front of everyone. And they don't need to know that information. Everyone's good. Everyone in the yeshiva, we speak only truth, but we speak glowing reports. But there are issues. And those issues have to be used, conveyed with surgical precision to make sure that they're only used according to the heter. Another concept that people abuse is the concept of ape mora. A person says, I would say it to his face. Now, I would say it to his face only works in a much more gentle tone when it's a borderline thing where it's not clear if it's Lashon Hara or it's not Lashon Hara. If you say a guy is very tall, so I'm not sure, do you mean it disparagingly or you mean it, you know, he's very tall. So if you would say, I would say it to his face, meaning your intonation and everything is clearly just pleasant conversation, so then it's not Lashon Hara. And that's a litmus test. But if you'd say it to his face, Chafetz Chaim describes later in the Halachas, that's even worse. That's Mevayish Penei Chaveira Barabim, embarrassing a person publicly. And that's absurd to say that that makes it okay. Finally, the Chafetz Chaim describes that the Yetzer Hara will sometimes convince a person with Chumrah that everything is Lashon Hara. And if you're going to follow this mitzvah, you'll never be able to talk anything. And through that Chumrah to get the person to give up his attempt at Shmiras HaLashon. And the truth is that that's not true. And that we know that a person who observes Shmiras HaLashon according to Halacha will find that there's plenty of pleasant talk to talk about. There are even times when Lashon Hara is required in certain given circumstances where someone might get hurt otherwise. And they become much more proficient at the proper way of conflict resolution and solving issues. The Chafetz Chaim comments that there is also a prohibition in receiving Lashon Hara, in listening to it. And on this we can add that if this would be properly observed, it would make a phenomenal impact in Shmiras HaLashon. We find, for example, by ribis, charging interest one Jew to the other, that it's prohibited to charge interest, and the prohibition is on the lender, the borrower, the witnesses, and even the sofer, the scribe, is prohibited to cooperate in a document that describes ribis, interest between Jews. It's a close-down method. It becomes impossible, so to speak, to violate because no one will cooperate with it. And the same thing over here. If the speaker would find that there are no listeners, that would also cause a tremendous close-down on this isser and would make observance easier for everyone. Yeshikoach, thank you for joining. Have a wonderful week.